This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I got asked, I can't even tell you how many times yesterday, about Canty not tipping Uber drivers.
Bye, losers! Bye!
It's like, Chris, why did you have a bad rating? Well, I didn't used to tip the Uber drivers. Did he not know that was the expectation to tip the Uber drivers?
I'm standing outside of the hotel in Houston. We're at the Super Bowl for 15 minutes. Then it's 20 minutes. I'm like, see, give me your phone. Did you put this address in right? And I look at it. It's the Super Bowl, right? Uber is active, like fully
they're
active.
They're swarming you like
they're swarming us.
Yes.
It was almost like Pac-Man, where you're like in a corner and you have nowhere to go. There's cars everywhere. Not one would pick us up.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Did you see the kid at the Suns game who just started to get naked when the Suns were playing well the other night?
The first thing I thought of when I saw it was you.
Yep.
The first thing I was like, that is, like, if there was someone that was going to play, if they did a, that would be young Dave Rothenberg is what that would be.
I began the naked run in 2007.
I don't think you realize we're trying to get it to sweep the nation. When you are either that upset or that adulated or that thrilled, just get naked. And that's what this young child decided to do the other night.
I don't want to give up the meat.
I was actually reading a story. It's funny you said that, Dave, because I was doing some research for the show this morning.
Uh-huh.
And the story I told yesterday in DHIF, I got an update. That was actually the woman's defense for terrorizing an Outback naked.
Her defense was what?
Was that she was in just like she was having such a great day that the first thing she thought was, I'm going to start stripping out of my clothes.
See, I'm telling you, it's a mindset that I developed years ago that is now beginning to
now I thought about taking my pants off.
Yeah. Now,
Pull up those pants, my man.
I have typically done it in my own home where I just start to rip off clothing and rip jerseys and shirts and pants, you know, are somehow taken off. But I guess now it's getting to the point where people are going to take it to the public and just, you know, at games, at restaurants, just start to take clothes off.
These clothes are restricting my happiness. I need to take them off.
That's the thought. The thought is, you know what? I need to free myself. I need to free myself. I mean, Giants, Cowboys, huge moment. Why wear pants?
You got to get comfortable. It's like Costanza when he goes to the bathroom.
Why wear pants? There's no reason. Giants Super Bowl. Why wear a shirt? Why wear clothes at all? Why wear underwear?
Pants, underwear, you don't need
it. No, you it's like a nudist colony. If the game is that important, you become a nudist colony.
Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
Yeah, that becomes dangerous, though, because, I mean, you'd be in one of those situations where you're just so used to getting naked, yeah, it could get inappropriate. Like, all of a sudden, you have and you would never do this because you can't watch a Giants game with people.
No.
But if you were at, like, you're having a Super Bowl party for the Giants, and you got everyone down in the man cave watching the game.
A Super Bowl party for the Giants. There is no, I would put on locks like it was the Bat Cave. If anyone tried to get into my home during a Giants Super Bowl, please. There's no chance that would happen.
Yeah, but certain people, though. Wouldn't you like to enjoy it with certain people? Like, not the people that ask you, like, annoying questions during the game.
No, because you know why? Because then I can't be myself. Then I can't yell and scream and rip off clothing. I know what happens. No, I don't want anybody anywhere near me. Absolutely not.
You don't feel like you could be yourself with me watching a game with you?
No.
No, stop.
Please. I don't.
I know who you are.
No, because I don't want the comments. I don't want to be judged. I don't want the comments. I don't want you to tell me that. I don't want to hear from anybody. I want to be on an island by myself. And if nudity ensues, then so be it. And for the Super Bowl, naked. Fully naked. Naked.
What if I promised going in? Like, what if I signed, in order to get into the Dave Rothenberg Super Bowl party with the Giants, you need to promise that at some point, if things are going well for the Giants, you'll get naked as well. Agreement.
You would join in the nudity?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Especially after yesterday. I went head to toe scaping. I mean, it's like a bowling alley.
Yeah, I think you'd
see your mom naked. And I'd be like, okay.
I think you'd have to maybe like leave a deposit, like a non-refundable deposit, where
if you acted inappropriately and there was a third party to judge this, and if you were inappropriate or made fun of me or didn't really get into the spirit of what was happening, you now lose that deposit.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I mean like a large deposit, like thousands of dollars.
Now let me ask you a question. When I at some point I would imagine did you ever play strip poker or one of those games with?
Yes.
Now were you one of those people when you play that's like you come with extra like extra clothes?
No.
You're like, oh,
no,
I'll take one sock off.
No. I would be no, I lost again.
Yes.
I don't win with a 2 and a 5 and a 7. Oh. All right.
I fold, but you had pocket aces. No, I fold.
You had a flush. Is that good?
I'm good.
Is that what you're looking for in a game like this?
Remind me how we play.
Yes. No. Oh, I'm out. Where do we go from here? All right. 800-919-3776. Let's make that Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And DCR on 98.7 ESPN is presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. So I know you're listening. You're like, well, Canty's not here. What's going to happen with getting to know your calls? I got to give RJ a lot of credit. They have pre-prepared Canty running point on getting to know your co-host for 6:45. So that is going to be even more so than the norm. Must listen to radio.
Chris Canty, wahoo wah.
It feels redundant when you say pre-prepared.
I think so too, but I like it.
Sounds more official. Here's another thing about Canty too. So I know you listened to KJZ yesterday. They asked me the question. So Canty came up with a list for KJZ.
Yeah, you went after him.
Oh, but I mean, how ridiculous is that list, though? That's a ridiculous list. It wasn't like who's and if the idea of the list is New York athletes that get let into a club first.
Yes, I agree.
Jacob DeGrom is not number one on the list.
No. I think Harden is probably number one. You know who I think has been left off the list inappropriately? Saquon Barkley.
No, I would put, the popularity of football, he's on the list.
I think Saquon's got to be on the list.
Judge, I think, is on the list.
Aaron Judge on the list.
How,
absolutely.
Listen, didn't James Harden, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't James Harden have his jersey retired in a strip club in Houston?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, he has to be right up there at the top.
And he's so recognizable. There's no one that has any knowledge of sports at all that sees James Harden and doesn't know who he is. You could not know who Jacob DeGrom is easily.
Easily. And here's the other thing, though, too. I would have Kyrie on the list. I just don't know what, you know, these clubs have policy-wise with walking sticks. I don't know if that's something
you can't bring your sage in.
That they frown upon.
Yeah, he's going to have to leave a deposit as well.
We're going to have to have you check that walking stick, sir. How dare you? We'll not check this walking stick.
So maybe he has a sword in there.
No.
You ever think that?
No. It does not look like one of those kind of walking sticks.
Maybe he's like Rutger Hauer, and he can take a full sword out of that thing.
You're an idiot. You really are.
You're an idiot. Yeah, I think that's true. By the way, how nice is my wife? Before we get to the Rob Dibble on KJZ yesterday, here's what she, at 5:23, after waking up with these savage animals, she says, tell Rick, I'll help him change his profile pic on Twitter.
Here's the thing, though. I'm taking her up on that because I know she'll do it.
Not only will she do it, she'll be done in like 8 seconds with it.
Yeah, she'll make me feel ridiculous. Like, how could you be this stupid that you can't do it? My favorite part, because, I mean, Twitter gets nasty. We all know this. But the beauty of our listeners is that I mention that and instantly I get a tweet with like 3 different options. Like they went and did the work. Like they shrunk the logo. They shrunk the other logo that's just DCR. And then they took the logo and put a picture of me behind the logo and shrunk it for me.
Oh, that's great. So you can just take that photo and pop it in there with the avatar. Now you're done.
If I knew how to do that, yeah.
Yeah, send it over to Sherry. She'll take care of it. All right, here's Rob Dibble. Says analytics are ruining the game of baseball.
What Josh Donaldson said was hot garbage. What these writers are writing about is hot garbage. The analytics people are destroying the game because they're forgetting the easy analytics. Let me give you quick numbers. And I'm going to give you this stat about Mike Trout. Mike Trout, greatest hitter in our game today, hitting .333 for his career. If you get him 0-2, he hits .182. Wow. You get him 1-2, he's hitting .191. Mm. If you're behind him 2-0, he hits .487.
Wow.
So it's about strike throwing and accuracy. city, and writers can sit here and try and blow smoke up the owners' butts all day. But guys, this is more about the collective bargaining agreement and trying to separate the union. I was a player rep. This is all crap by the owners. You know what we're not talking about? Moving the All-Star game. We're not talking about the Astros cheating. We're not talking about any of that crap. Now we're going to pick on the pitchers. So to me, this is just all a bunch of crap.
Yep. So he thinks they're just deflecting here in the things that they're getting into Major League Baseball.
No, but I think, I mean, you agree with me. I blame baseball for this.
Well, it's their own doing, absolutely.
But you mean to tell me this wasn't something that they could have handled before the season started?
I don't think they knew how extreme it would be.
Because it has nothing to do with what the pitchers are using. They've been using the same stuff. This wasn't a conversation in 2019.
No, I understand, but now guys can't hit the baseball.
But why, though, Dave? Is it the sticky stuff, or is it the combination of the sticky stuff with the new baseball that they brought into the game?
I think it's probably that.
Okay, well, that's it. So it's their fault. And now they want to hold. Now they're going to blame the pitchers, and Gerrit Cole is going to be the face of this. And every time, tell me there isn't a Yankees fan that thought that last night when Chapman was throwing 96 miles an hour. Well, was he? Was this because he's not using?
But you don't think that's going to happen with everybody?
Exactly.
You don't think
right.
It won't happen because he's so good, and I don't believe for a second that he uses it. But could you imagine if DeGrom goes out and allows three runs in six innings tonight? What the conversation will be? I mean, you said this is the biggest start for Gerrit Cole the entire season the other day against Minnesota. Any pitcher.
It was.
I know, but any pitcher that does not pitch well, especially in this little era of the next couple of weeks, is going to be thought of as, well, you know why? Because he's cheated. Because he's used the sticky stuff with the new baseball, and that's why. Everyone's going to have those thoughts. Everyone thought that about Chapman last night. You're not on an island here.
No, but that's the first thing I thought watching that. Was that we'll have people that call in tomorrow and say that exact thing. That should we be worried? Is this because he's not using the sticky stuff now that he's throwing 96? Straight fastballs with no life? Just 96 right down the pipe, middle.
So you're not entitled to just a bad game anymore?
That's what baseball's done now. Because now, you know, all the things that they know have been going on, because it's in L.A. with the Angels, it's the clubhouse attendant. Oh, so he's the only one that knows. It's pitching coaches that are telling, you know, starting in the minors, like, this is the stuff that you should be using. Like, no one has known in baseball that this was going on until now when it's become a problem. Come on, man. Stop it. And we're going to put it at the feet of the pitchers?
But in the middle of the season? I mean, you're more than a third of the way through the season, you're going to entirely change the game?
Well, because this is another one, though. This goes back to what Pete Alonso was saying, right? I don't know how you'd have any factual information about changing the baseball, you know, year to year, depending on the free agent class, which I think is a little bit, maybe a bit of a stretch. But if you're changing the baseball to get desired results on the field, like, okay, you know, we want to increase home runs, so we'll juice it. And now all of a sudden there's too many home runs. So, you know, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. So we're going to change the baseball again. So there are some consequences that come along with that. And yeah, maybe you're right. Like, now guys aren't hitting as many home runs, so you don't have to pay them as much. That could be, you know, a positive for the owners. To do this now, when you know what's been going on, rather than handle this at the beginning, before the season even starts, and make it a big public ordeal, is, to what Rob Dibble said, is now all of a sudden got players going after players in the year leading into a new CBA negotiation.
Yeah, you think baseball's upset by this?
No, they're loving every second of this. And the best part is they know they can't stand each other now. So it was, okay, let's unite because we hate the owners. We hate Rob Manfred. We hate the owners. So let's unite as a group. As a union, let's unite.
Yep.
They always say it, Dave, because I was one of those player reps. I was on the executive committee. They divide and conquer is exactly what they do.
Well, look what they're doing. Very convenient that it's happening right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, are you in the search of an intern or someone this summer?
I would love an intern.
I bet you we could get you an intern. Carlin hired himself an intern.
Yeah, McCarlin, I mean, he's got a whole setup, though. I mean, Carlin has, he's on every platform. He's got, like, the camera and the studio and everything else. I mean, he's no joke. He's like his own...
empire. Maybe yeah, he has an intern. Maybe
he's like Kramerica is what he is.
Maybe he hires interns that can do stuff like that.
I think he does. I mean, that's what he does.
If you should hire a social media intern that could change your photo on Twitter. And then you fire him once he does.
No, I'm not going to fire him. Oh, come on. Can this intern, you know, drive me to to and from the city as well?
Why not?
Because that would be nice.
Well, why not? In your car, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That would be great.
Yes.
Especially in the Cross Bronx.
Oh, absolutely.
That would get uncomfortable, though, if I had to all of a sudden, I mean, start peeing in bottles and stuff.
You'll close the partition.
My car doesn't have a partition. I told you the story about what Timo Solani used to do, right?
No.
So Timo Solani had, I want to say it was, I think it was a Maybach. It was one of those fancy kind of cars that people would be, you could drive people around in, right? Like the expectation is if you saw this car, there's probably a driver and someone, you know, in the back seat. But there wasn't. It was his car. So rather than sit in traffic, it's just him. Rather than sit in traffic, he wanted to get in the HOV lane. So what he would do is he'd put up, you know, how the back seat, you know, the back seat windows. You can put up the blinds kind of in the back seat,
yeah,
so you can't see
in
the windows.
Yep.
So he would put those up, and he would put a chauffeur hat on, and he'd drive in the HOV lane.
So he would make it look like there's an important person in the back seat.
Yeah, like he was the driver.
Wow.
As opposed to it was his just driving himself.
It's
genius.
It's brilliant.
That is genius.
But he should have hired the intern. Now, if you are hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed, Instant Match just post a sponsored job, and you'll immediately get a short list of quality. See, Ricky, get the quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. So you're looking for intern, no pay. Will you reward them in like yogurts and stuff?
Frozen yogurt? Yeah, Froyo. We're stopping at Froyo. I mean, that's going to happen.
You'll stop at Kitchen Cabaret and probably pick up some breakfast, and I would imagine you treat them as well.
I treat anyone that drives me. It could be, you know, car service or whatever. Usually, there's always a stop, usually a Kitchen Cab.
Yeah, so you'll get that. You can get college credit, and you would probably allow them to drive you and also be your social media manager and probably help you with show preparation as well.
That's what I need, though. You're right. That's the missing element is the social media stuff, because I have no clue how
you
to
are
do it.
Dreadful on social media.
Dormant. What do you mean dreadful? I don't say that. Just,
well, because I think it's overwhelming to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you see the level of anxiety when I start doing stuff like, you know, making predictions or picks or anything like that. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times, well, I'll be watching something and something funny will come to my mind. I'm like, I should tweet that.
You should.
And then I'll read it and I'm like, ah, man, I don't know. What's the reaction to this going to be?
No, you should start to tweet some stuff. You should.
I'm not ready for. I don't know if I'm ready for the negativity that's going to come along with it.
But you can't ignore the negativity. You're a professional athlete in New York. You can't ignore the negativity.
I think I had enough of it. Like, I think that was good. Like, I'll take, like,
you
that was
your
good.
Quota?
Yeah. Like, I think. Yeah. I'm.
I think I'm emotionally
full
broken
as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, good. I would like to see you throw yourself out there a little bit. Glenn in Peconic is on 98.7. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey. Good morning. I have an idea for a rule change, a single rule change, that could change the attitude of the hitters and fix baseball.
All right, fix it.
If at any point in the inning, two batters strike out in a row, the inning is over. So obviously, if it's a third out, it's out, but that puts a premium on the first two outs. And if the first guy strikes out, now the second guy has to put the ball in play somehow or the inning's over. So you're not fixing the ball. You're not moving the mound.
So now a game that is desperate for offense,
baseball,
Glenn, you're going to have less offense because guys strike out all the time.
Well, no. Now
he's trying to avoid the striking out.
You're going to get them to change their launch angle, to get them to rethink the way they're hitting, because now there's a premium on putting the ball in play. They're going to cut down on their swings. Think about it.
Yeah, I don't see something like that happening. I don't think it's a horrible idea. It's just it's not going to happen. They're not going to do something like that.
No, because again, they're trying to make subtle changes. Like, you've already seen how people react to the extra inning rule. Like, I don't love the extra inning rule.
No, I don't know how you could love the extra inning rule. What do you dislike more, the extra inning rule or the seven inning doubleheader?
The extra inning rule. I can't say I don't like that at all. I'm not that, like, especially for the Mets. Like, I don't hate the seven inning games.
For the Mets, it's great.
Like, that would have been something I honestly considered. And people would have probably lost their minds, but I think people are more on board now with the seven-inning games just because of, like, you'll look up in the fifth and you're like, rather, like, there'll be times where I'm in the fifth inning, I'm like, oh, man.
Why forget?
Yeah, me too. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a seven-inning game.
Right, we're eight outs away.
Exactly right.
But if you fall behind in a seven-inning game, you're in trouble.
I would listen, I wouldn't have been opposed, and this is going to sound like crazy talk, but with all the injuries and everything else and trying to protect, you know, pitchers and, you know, with all the extra innings coming off a 60-game season, like, I would have probably considered going 162 of seven-inning games.
I mean, you're dramatically just to cut down on the innings in the game of baseball now.
But just to cut down the innings. To jump, I mean, for the pitching staff to jump from 60 games to all of a sudden now 162, that's huge.
It's huge. It's huge.
They would never do something like that.
We're talking about, I mean, fundamentally changing the game that's been around for 150 years.
That's exactly what they're trying to avoid. Because they're still trying to get, like, they're not trying to appease me and you. Like, they know no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, we're in. They're trying to, which I don't even know if it's possible, Dave. Like, I don't know. I mean, just baseball doesn't lend itself to attracting the younger generation of fans.
It does not. I can't tell you the last time my kids sat and watched a full baseball game on television. We go to the game and they'll, of course, watch it, which we haven't done in years. But sitting from beginning to end and watching a full game on TV, they never do. They like to talk about it, like, away from the game. Ben's up big on MLB.com and look at the power rankings and, like, all sorts of stuff. But as far as sitting from first pitch to last pitch, I don't think they've done it this year.
No, you're hard-pressed. I don't care how old your kid is to have him sit down there. I mean, for a full nine-inning game, paying attention.
For football, they'll do it nonstop.
Well, yeah, because you've – I mean, that's – But again, how much of that is because you've waited all week and you know there's only, I mean, there'll be 17 now, but there's
okay,
only 17 games.
But it's not like there's one baseball game. Even a DeGrom game, I don't think they would sit and watch from first pitch to last pitch.
Okay, but let me ask you this, though. When you're watching football, when Ben and Alex are watching football, is it just that football game or do they have the red zone going and all sorts of different things, you know, their fantasy football teams
yeah,
going?
Yeah, it's a barrage of
okay.
The senses, yes.
All right, so I mean, that's the beauty of football.
It's a lot of action. It's very listen. Football Sundays, and I mean this honestly, are really exciting. It is manic in my house. You got the one TV on with the eight games at once. You got the Giants on the big screen. You got the computer out there with the different tabs. You got Alex on his iPad, you know, keeping track of who's doing what. You got the red zone on another TV. Like, it's a very action-packed day. It's very exciting.
And that's not what baseball is.
No. It's the opposite of that.
It's the opposite of that. And a lot of times, I mean, most people that watch baseball, I mean, I'd be interested to know how many people actually sit down and watch an entire game, or if it's, we're going to have the TV on, we'll have the game on. But
it's background noise?
Yeah, I'm going to go do this, I'll go have dinner, I'll come back, I'll check in. I mean, because think of it, going to a baseball game, too, I mean, it's more of a, for a lot of people, it's more of a social event is what it is.
It's relaxing.
Exactly.
Like, if you said to me, Dave, let's go to a Giants game and just enjoy it, no, I don't want to do that.
No, you
can't. If you said, let's go to a baseball game, like, that's fun. You have a couple beers. You eat well. The result of the game, sure, you want your team to win, but it's not be-all and end-all. You're not going to be heartbroken if your team loses. Like, going to a baseball game may be the most fun game to go to. But to sit there at home and watch the entire game?
Well, because there's other things you do, too, at the baseball game. It's about, you know, being with buddies or being with your kids.
Well, it's the experience
of
the game, right?
Exactly. And then but you can also have, like at a baseball game, you can sit and actually have a legitimate conversation. Like, when we had our tailgate, like, it's like, you're paying attention to the game, but there'll be times like, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes you turn, you're talking like, you know, chopping it up with
that's right
with our guy with eating the ice cream off his naked belly. Like,
by the way, another naked man in a game, right?
That was my favorite, man. That was one of the best times we've ever had. Like, they're coming back, you want an ice cream. That was a real event. That was fun.
Time. That was a great
and
time.
We got a great game. They destroyed.
Well, they scored like
Miami.
7 runs in the first inning.
Destroyed Miami in that game.
Yeah, that was terrific.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So you've already clinched up getting to know your co-host, right?
Yeah, that's been locked up. Yeah,
did I win last week, or am I mistaken with that?
No, I think you won last week, yeah.
I beat Canty.
Yeah,
because
right? it was get to know me, and you won, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm two behind you.
Did you see this story, by the way? We had the Alonso clip about manipulating the baseballs for free.
How do you do that, by the way?
What?
I mean, I'm in the middle of discussing something, and you just, like, on a dime, you change it. Did you see this story, by the way? Like as if you're not paying attention to me.
No, I'm paying a question. I thought I answered the question. Yeah, I wrapped it up.
So I'm two behind you with two to play, but I host the last one, so it's over, right?
Yeah, it's been over, yeah.
All right.
This is what happens. I mean, I can sit this one out. You want me to lay down this one so you can win?
No, I don't want you to let me win.
Well, but you want to beat Canty, don't you?
Well, I would like that. But okay, but he can't pick up a point now anyway.
No, I know, but you're only one up on
Canty. The best he can do is tie me.
Exactly, but why? But again,
no, I don't want you to lay down. I don't want that.
I could take a knee.
If you found out that a player laid down in a game that you played in, would you be horrified by that?
And no, and we won?
Yeah.
No.
You would not?
No, I'll take a win.
No, I wouldn't want that.
No, stop.
I wouldn't want it.
Come on. A win's a win. You take the win.
I wouldn't want it.
So
I
you would
not
be like,
want
if
you
it,
to lay
if it's,
down.
So if it's week 17 and you're playing a team that has nothing to play for and they don't play anybody. And you win.
No, that's different. I'm saying
what
like
do you mean? That's laying down.
I'm saying actually lose on purpose. Like lose this on purpose where there is meaning to it for both parties. No, I would not want you to lay down.
It would take some. I mean, it would. You're right. I mean, it would take something away from it. But I would still. I'm not going to celebrate the win.
All right,
but
give me what's your Pete Alonso story?
No. I think this is topical.
Okay.
No. So Pete Alonso had, and people were mocking him and everything else about conspiracy theories with the baseballs and manipulating.
The guy took his shirt off. But go ahead. It's all flooding into my memory now, yeah.
So Will Middlebrooks thinks that Pete Alonso, it doesn't sound so crazy. It makes sense to him. Because...
with the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, it's manipulating baseballs year to year. I mean, he brings up the fact that in 2018, MLB bought the rights to Rawlings for $395 million. Don't really talk about that much, do we? He said, kind of got swept under the rug. He makes the point, like, what other sport changes...
None.
The way that they do.
It's preposterous when you think about it.
No, it really is. And I think that's why I blame. I don't blame the pitchers for where we're at. This is Major League Baseball's fault. It absolutely is.
Couldn't agree with you more. But the byproduct is that the game is not as good as it should be and as good as it was. And they've kind of ruined it and they've brought it on by themselves. Let's go to Eddie in Brooklyn. Good morning, Eddie. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Really well.
Listen, I wanted to make a comment on two things. The last guy that you were talking about if the first two guys strike out, the inning should be over. You can't do that. That would be taking like one of the very fundamentals of baseball.
I don't think you have to worry, Eddie. I think we're fine with that one.
Okay, but my next comment is like the Bucks are not winning another game, man. Because they played bully ball last night, and if Kevin Durant wouldn't miss a couple of shots, that game would have been over. I don't see the Bucks winning another game.
It wasn't just Kevin Durant, though. It was
anybody.
It was Joe Harris didn't shoot well. Kyrie didn't shoot well. Durant didn't shoot well. I mean, that's the crazy part is, I mean, first half of that game, Bruce Brown was your best offensive player in the first half of that game.
And then you went to him over and over.
Well, he went ice cold, though.
But I mean, on the last possession, did they have a timeout on that last possession?
Yeah, they did.
They didn't think about taking it there when the ball almost went out of bounds and Kyrie was kind of like dangling on the baseline.
Well, it was a bad pass.
Or on the sideline. I know, but why not take a timeout?
Because I just think in that moment that once, you know, I mean, Kyrie did a good job of saving that ball too, and they swarmed him. But once Bruce Brown got the ball and he's matched up with Brook Lopez, he thought that he could beat him to the rim.
Listen.
And give Lopez credit, man. For a big guy, he moved his feet.
I mean,
understand. He did a great job.
I have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on my side. Bruce Brown is not taking the last shot of the game.
No, of course not. There were a couple things with Bruce Brown, too, and he was great. I mean, rebounding, the intensity. I thought the intensity, period. I mean, I got KD diving on the floor. He's in Tucker's face. Like, the intensity was great. The effort was great. But, like, it was probably, I was counting, actually. I think it was like four floaters. It might have been four floaters that Brown missed down the stretch. And then you obviously had that last shot he took. But I even thought on the last possession, like, he didn't do a great job at all setting the screen for Durant. Tucker blew right by him.
No.
So he had no, I mean, KD had no space. And he still almost hit it. It wasn't a great look. But things fell apart quick.
Again,
there.
I really think that it's much ado about nothing with the Nets. I think that I agree with the caller. They'll win the series in five.
I think we feel the same way. I feel worse about their chances now with them winning a game than I did after the first two.
They were so fortunate to win that game. And then the celebration, I almost felt embarrassed for them, like just celebrating that win the way they did.
Yeah, but what are you going to do in that moment, man? That might be the last
win. You win the game, I mean, and that's what it's all about. You're right. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. Good morning, Spike. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for another week of great programs. I got three things on that game last night that as much basketball as we've all watched, you can't make up. Guy calls me. I have a pretty good opinion on basketball. I said, look, you got to bet the over. There's a great pick. Then the other thing was...
You only missed the over by what, like 75 points last night?
Yeah, so 50, 60 points. So here's a better one. Here's a better one. I said, look, the Nets are going to win this game. Take the 3.5 points. You got another. And I'm watching this game, and I called Larry and Gordon afterwards. We were laughing so hard. How does Brown wind up? Who played great. He did. You're right. He's never going to take 17 shots again. How does he wind up with the last ball? We know they fumbled the play. But how Milwaukee won that game, if anyone thinks Milwaukee's back in the series, I'm going to sell them a bridge in Brooklyn. That was one of the worst played, floppiest games. You'll never see Kyrie and Kevin Durant play that poorly again. Because, you know, the thing with Durant's always, he's efficient. He was horribly efficient last night. That game is like they turned the world upside down in basketball. I mean, it was interesting because it was close. But the shooting, and look at the points. I heard something after the game, guys, and thanks for the time. That was the most points scored by two players in a playoff game in the history of the NBA.
No. It's got to be the highest percentage. Yes.
Highest percentage, yeah. It was almost 80%, 79%.
What they scored, 90% of their points?
79%.
Almost 80.
I mean,
79. Yeah.
And Brook Lopez gets 3 points.
Well, P.J. Tucker didn't score. They didn't have another guy in double figures. Right? I think Drew Holiday had 9, and thanks for the call, Spike. No, I mean, last night was not the – if you were trying to get people to fall in love with the NBA, last night would not be the tape that you would send them.
No, that wasn't – I mean, that wasn't a very good representation of where the NBA is today by any means. I mean, that was you kept hearing that it was 90s basketball. It was not good offensive basketball.
Oh, it was terrible. It was awful. I mean, wide open looks. I mean, Joe Harris was 1 of 11. I mean, Drew Holiday, who was a nice player, was just, I mean, it was bad basketball. How you play 32 minutes if you're P.J. Tucker and don't score 1 point is beyond me.
Dude, you know what it looked like? Because I know you play these games. And that was like, I'll never forget, like when I finally started making my own money, because it used to drive me crazy, we'd have this carnival we go to, and it was like at this movie theater, and they'd take the whole parking lot, carnival games and everything else.
I love that.
I always loved playing the games. Loved them. But I get
you know
cut
what
off.
I loved? I loved the game where you put the quarters in, hoping the quarters got pushed over the side.
Yes.
I love that game.
Dude, I love that game. I like when they give you the baseballs to knock down the clowns or break the plates. That reminded me of the basketball game.
On the 15-foot hoop?
Yeah, when the rim is kind of like they have it bent.
It's too small and the basketball is bigger than usual.
Yeah, like it looks like they're going in and you're like, nope, that's not in.
Nope,
you just keep dumping money into it until my dad was like, I just buy you the stupid stuffed animal.
Yeah, I actually had that years ago. I walked up to the guy. I was like, listen, instead of spending the $500, can I just give you like $40 and you give me that animal? He's like, no, I'm sorry. We can't do that. I also like to shoot the water in the clown's mouth.
I like that one too.
For the balloon?
Yep. Well, I like the horse racing too.
The horse racing is also fun, yes.
Here's a good story. So we actually did that. We were at our beach bash down the Jersey Shore. So we went out the night before. It was me, Alan, it was a bunch of us, like a handful of us. So we just decided that we were going to play all these
games.
Is
this when they put you up at that really 5-star hotel?
Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So it was like me, Alan, Tommy O, a bunch of us. And Tommy O was like, he was on board with what we were doing. Like, he was just walking down the boardwalk, just peeling off money. So we could just have, like, unlimited shots. Dude, at 1.2, and he was, like, sneaky good at darts. So you know the dart game where you're breaking the balloons?
Yeah, I love that.
Like, dude, he just gives the guy, I don't know how much money he gave him. And he's got unlimited darts. He just starts, like, dee, 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 and just breaks every single one of the balloons. We walked away. We had, like, I don't know, probably, like, 12, 15 of those giant stuffed animals.
Great. And now what are you going to do with them?
We gave them to the guys to bring back. We had a giant unicorn. I don't even know where they are now. It was fun, though.
Yeah, I'm
it's
sure
not even
it was.
About the it's not even about the prize.
No, it's about the competition.
Exactly right.
Life is about competition. All right, we're going to get to getting to know your co-host in a moment. 800-919-3776. But Lonnie, good friend of the program. Rick, he wants to make an offer to you. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, Uncle Rico and Cousin Dave. Cousin Dave, the offer stands to you, too. I've already offered my, you know. If you guys need help, I'm here. So, Uncle, I could do social. I could drive you around. Whatever you guys need. I could walk the dog. I'll tell Goldstein Barkley not to eat everything. You know, Sam, you know, I'll clean up the throw for Sam and all of that. Sherry could sit down and relax and all of that. But I just really called in to say that because I'm here for you guys. Dave, I really hope that we don't have issues because, I don't know, it seems like you take a shot at me every time I get up the phone. But if I have
because he's a coward, Lonnie. That's why.
He's a coward, Lonnie.
I'm not. He won't say it to your face.
You know how I feel about you, Lonnie. After my wife and kids, you're probably my favorite person walking the planet, all right?
All right, there we go. So I know you're definitely lying now, but okay.
He's gutless.
About baseball, listen, I say this all the time. The sport is a, I don't want to say it's a joke, but it's a joke. Like, if you have, the sport knew that these guys were using it, or everybody knows that they're using it. People knew that the Astros was cheating. Now, if you listen to the Michael Kay show, which I know you was, Uncle Rico, the whole thing with the White Sox and when they had the lights flashing from the I think there was a Ferris wheel or something like that. The game is rigged. I mean, I used to love baseball. Baseball was the first sport. I mean, I still do. Baseball was the first sport I played as a kid. It is literally the last sport I would want to play now, this day. Basketball and football will more than likely always come first. Like, I go to baseball games with people that I know love baseball because most of the people I know don't really love it. So when I go, I try to go with people that really actually love it that I could break down the game with. But, you know, that's kind of hard to find now because nobody really likes the game. The game is doing it to themselves. So
the game is bland.
You guys say it all the time. It is.
The game is bland. Lonnie, thanks for the call.
But you get what you pay for, Dave. I mean, you get what you pay for. And that's, I mean, guys have been incentivized to just hit home runs.
Yeah,
and that's for me and for a lot of people.
There's no two ways about it.
And because of the nerds, I mean, the nerds have screwed it all up. What do you think is going to happen? In all honesty, what do you think is going to happen if you don't have hard, fast rules? I mean, there's a reason why professional athletes are professional athletes with how competitive they are. You don't think so if there's no hard, fast rules on certain things, you don't think they're going to push to the absolute limit?
Or if they're not enforced?
Well, that's what I mean.
If we look the other way or if there's a wink-wink understanding, no, guys are going to...
Here's the thing, though, Dave. Especially if in your mind you think that they know that they already know that you're doing it and still haven't punished you.
Right. You're really not doing anything wrong then in your mind. All right. So, RJ, let's start getting to know your co-host. Where are the standings? Let's bring you in as the Wink Martindale of this game show. Good morning, RJ.
Would you like to play the Open?
He does whatever he wants, RJ.
Right,
the guy, he's gutless.
Stop.
He's gutless.
I thought I would hand it to you, and okay, you would run point on the whole thing.
Okay, well.
Lots of excuses.
Here, all right,
of excuses.
In running point, I'm going to pass the ball to Ray, and we're going to play the Open. How about that?
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is oh, my God.
All right, so as you asked for, the standings. Dave, you're in second. You've elevated above Chris, who is not here, but we do have his voice, so it's like he's kind of here. Rick has clinched things. It's all wrapped up. 7 victories, and we have played 16 glorious weeks.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
So it's 7-5-4, is that right?
7-5-4 this
week. So if
week.
I win today, I clinch the silver medal, and Chris can do nothing to catch me next week.
Look at what has happened.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next week if that happens. I guess.
And on top of that, no matter what happens, the worst I do is tie for second.
That's right. You guys could even rest during the segment. You could send in your replacements. And
hey, you're a loser.
This isn't KJZR. We're required to be here.
You could load manage during the 6:45 segment.
I would
next
not
week.
Do that. Nope. It's not
I know
my
you
way.
So,
I'm not. I'm
Dave,
not the
over
Doug
under
Peterson
on Dave,
of this
David,
segment.
David, over under. All three of the regular hosts on KJZ today. Of the three.
Over under, I would say one.
Yep, correct.
And that would be Keyshawn, I imagine.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, there
it's
you go.
Amazing to me. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. All right, continue, RJ. I apologize.
KJZ, 8 to 10 every morning.
Right after us on 98.7 ESPN.
Please listen. How's that?
Please.
Yeah, right.
Chris Canty is here for question number one.
Welcome to this week's edition of Getting to Know You. Yours truly is the co-host that you get to learn more about. Selfishly, I'm rooting for Rick DiPietro just because I don't want to come in last. So without further ado, let's get to the questions. Question number one. I've never used this form of transportation. A, subway. B, ferry. C, helicopter. Again, your choices are A, subway. B, ferry. C, helicopter.
See, I see what he's trying to do there.
He's trying to trick you. I know
he's
what he's
trying
doing.
To. He's trying to trick us. Yeah, I don't like that at all. Was he in a closet when he did this recording, by the way?
Yeah, sound quality is terrific, RJ. This is great.
Yeah, excellent work.
Listen, all he was doing TV yesterday, so he wasn't here in studio.
Yeah, but he did the show.
Where was the TV at?
Yeah.
Guantanamo? I mean, what are we doing?
Was he underwater when he did the taping?
Yes.
Was he actually on the ferry as he recorded these?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Would you like question two?
Yeah, we'd love it.
No, I don't want it. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, fine. Let's let this music
play. No, go ahead.
Until 6:57.
God, everyone's so sensitive on this show.
It's amazing, right?
You guys are mean.
Question number two. I infamously was set up by the people at the NFL draft and announced the incorrect college for a player. What round was that player taken in? A, third round. B, fourth round. C, fifth round. Again, your choices are A, third round. B, fourth round. C, fifth round.
Oh, that's easy.
It's almost like he took the knee. I don't even have to take the knee with these questions.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
We know the player, but what round was that player selected?
All right, sounds confident. So we're ready for three, right?
We're ready for three.
Question number three. Earlier this year, I got engaged. Which month did that happen in? Oh, A, February. B, March. C, April. Again, your choices are A, February. B, March. C, April.
I'm not sure of this. Are you sure of this one?
I feel better about the first two.
Yeah. All right. I got my answer. All right. Continue along.
Question number four. I've always said that you can't trust people that wear this type of black shoe. What is that shoe? A, shell-toe Adidas. B, Timberlands. C, Air Force Ones. Your options are A, shell-toe Adidas. B, Timberlands. C, Air Force Ones.
You know this one, don't you?
Yeah, very confident with this one. Ugh. Very, very confident.
I don't like this.
If you all pay attention, this one's very obvious.
Go ahead.
But here's the
question number five. When we won the Super Bowl in 2011, yep. I purchased this as a gift to myself to celebrate. A, a car. B, a trip to St. Bart's. C, a house. Again, those options are A, a car. B, a trip to St. Bart's. C, a house.
I always love the phrase, bought myself this as a gift. Isn't everything you buy yourself, in essence, though, a gift?
No, some are necessities.
Yeah, some things you need, just other things you want.
Yeah, did you need to go to the Super Bowl and take out a loan? No, that was a gift to yourself.
No, here's a better question. Here's a better question.
That's a necessity.
No, did you need to take 15 grand when you could have definitely taken the 5 grand?
Yeah,
why stop there?
Like, did you charter a jet?
If you're going to go in, you go all in. No, we went business class, and we stayed at a nice hotel.
Girlfriend experience?
Yeah, we had great times at night, and no, it was big time stuff. Bought two good seats. It was a big trip. Outside of the game, it was great.
Was that the one
that worked out well for you?
Was that the one you broke up with your girlfriend after?
Yeah, I had to. I had to make life-altering changes. I had to. I remember her. We were at a restaurant. She's like, "Well, why are you breaking up with me?" I said, "I need to make life-altering changes." And she said, "Well, why?" I said, "Because the Giants lost the Super Bowl, and I need to make changes."
Hold on. Time out for a quick second. I want to get to know your co-host. I want to get deeper into this. Okay. Now, how long had you been dating this woman?
Probably about 8 months.
Okay, how serious, though? Like,
there was zero chance of marriage.
Okay, I was going to say.
Zero chance.
Because you could actually, if there was, you could almost point back to that loss being in your best interest.
It was regardless, because it probably pushed me to meet Sherry. But there was zero chance that I was going to marry this woman.
Yeah, but I think the loss helped you. It hurt you in the moment, but it helped you long term.
It still pains me. That loss still pains me, though, to this day. Watching Jermaine Lewis take that.
But you married Sherry.
I understand. But watching Jermaine Lewis take that kickoff return back for a touchdown still haunts me.
There's something wrong with this dude. I'm telling you right now. There's some malfunction in his brain. Where emotion, like, if they did a pie chart of his brain, like, where the emotion part of the brain is definitely the smallest slice.
I mean, the fact that they called a holding on Keith Hamilton on that, I mean, that's, I watched it a million times. It's a terrible call.
I get more, I'm not even joking, because you know how much I love you with Stump Rothenberg. I was saying this to RJ off the air. Your immediate recall of, like, maybe every game you've ever watched it is the most incredible thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
or heard.
I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can tell you specific plays about specific games. All right, answers. Now, how do we do this? Do we kind of revisit the question? Do we just play what Chris wants us to do? RJ, what do we do here?
Yeah, here we go.
I've never used this form of transportation. The answer is C.
Wait, no.
Helicopter.
What would you just do?
Well, we're on the honesty system here.
This worked out well.
Well, I had C. Rick, what'd you have?
I had a helicopter. I can't imagine 6'8", 330 fitting in a helicopter.
No.
I tried to trick us with Subway, though, is what he tried to do.
You guys were so confident there. I was pretty confident you had
no, that. You really messed that one up. All right. So, we play his answer, can we revisit the question on our own?
Yes, go ahead. Would you like me to state the question?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Now you do it.
Yes, I'd like you to restate it, please.
All right, so Chris was set up during his infamous NFL draft player announcement. What round was that player taken in?
Third round.
Yes, third round.
So the options were third, fourth, or fifth.
So A would be my answer.
Yeah, third round.
Are we ready?
Now we're ready. Now play.
Question number two. I infamously was set up by the people at the NFL draft and announced the incorrect college for a player. What round was that player taken in? The answer is A, the third round.
All right.
We're both 2-0.
That's right. Here's the one you both had some questions on. Which month did Chris get engaged? It happened this year.
I think I'm going to be wrong. I went A, February.
You have February, March, or April?
I went February.
Okay.
Oh, this is a tough one for me. I didn't go anything yet. I just have all three written down.
That's
I am
an interesting
going.
Approach.
That's across the board.
That was like my handling of question one. Very interesting.
I'm going March.
Oh, so here's where we differ. Question three.
Question number three. Earlier this year, I got engaged. Which month did that happen in? The answer is B, March.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
You can't miss.
Oh, my God. This is amazing how good I am at this game.
This is one of the great turnarounds of all time. On to question four. Chris has always said you cannot trust people that wear this type of black shoe. What is that shoe?
Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones was option C. B was Timberlands. A was Shelto Adidas.
I have C as well.
Question number four. I've always said you can't trust people that wear this type of black shoe. What is that shoe? The answer is C, Air Force Ones.
All righty. Rick with a one answer lead heading into the...
Now, do we have a tiebreaker question just in case?
We do.
Oh, you're so well prepared.
Well, I'm making up for the mishandling of question one. So,
when Chris
won the Super Bowl in 2011, he purchased a gift for himself. What was that gift? Car, trip to St. Bart's, or a house?
Why don't you go first to give me a chance to tie it up?
I'm going house.
Oh, I went house, but I'm going to say he went on a trip to St. Bart's.
And question number five. When we won the Super Bowl in 2011, I purchased this as a gift to myself to celebrate. The answer is C, a house.
Oh, my God. Is that, did I just go 5-0?
Five and oh.
I knew that one. In essence, I went 4-1. But yeah. And you said you were going to throw the week, huh?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.